CKUP Radio.
Soundwave in the air.
CKUT,
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT. It's time to take sampling to a whole new level.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. My name is Howard Carr. And the co-host of the show,
Steve Sankar.
And along with the rest of the crew,
DJ Nicholas. Special guest, DJ.
With the news,
Brian Amplify.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms.
On CKUT 90.3 FM, People's Station.
Did you ever imagine that this day would come to pass? When we, holding each other's hands, on this beautiful island we've been dreaming of.
This morning. love her so. Yeah. I tell them I don't know. I'm telling you, I love the beautiful island of St. Vincent. Had the pleasure of visiting there many moons ago. And it's a hint I'm dropping here for you, Raphael. I need to know when is the next trip. Thank you for taking us on that first one. I enjoyed it immensely. Immensely is the word. A pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal, and the world at large. My name is Howard Franklin Montgomery Carr, and I'm from the beautiful island of Jamaica. Well, I say hello to WFFR, all the way in beautiful, beautiful Washington, D.C., where they don't know whether they have a president or, shut up, stretch, you're not an American. A little politics will be on this airwaves today. And the man who is going to control that is the politician commentator that I know of, one of the better ones, Mr. Egbert Gay. We're going to get him to chat and interview some of the people that in the various mayoral races. So I'm going to try and get one here now. Could you hold on for me, young man? Mr. Magiker is online. So now I'm going to add a call. His name is Egbert Gay. Sorry I can't talk about much today, but we got to get this in, all right? And Egbert is right here. So let me see if he's on the line. Are you on the line, Mr. Gay? Yes, he's there. So you know what? I'm gonna push up the phone. I'm gonna marry all three of us. How do we do this again? Yes, merge the calls. Come on, merge. Did I merge? Egbert is there. This fancy phone, I had it done. Hello, I think they're both there. Hello, guys, are you there? Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Egbert.
Hi, Stretch, how are you?
Is Mr. Carr there? Hello.
I'm here as well.
Ah, jump in. Now, let me get down the music. I'm glad you guys have taken the time out to help me with my electoral intelligence, because, you know, I'm no good at that. Funny enough, you may laugh, but I'm from a political family in Jamaica, the Sinclairs, and I've never really listened to politicians. So now, Egbert, you're going to make me listen to the politician, Mr. Kerr.
You're right.
Right? So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to turn over the microphone and the floor to Mr. Egbert Gay and his guest.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, as Stretch says, you know, we are speaking to a new generation of politicians that are positioned to make an impact in municipal politics, at least. And I think it's really a pleasure to welcome someone like Matthew Kerr, who is young, dynamic, our old control student, so he can't be bad. So the deal here is Matthew, who is running as the mayoral candidate for Coconut Energy for Mouvement Montréal, he represents, like I said, a new breed, a new generation. So Matthew, what got you into politics? What provoked you to run in this municipal election, and why Mouvement Montréal?
Well, I have a background in community work. I work downtown for a homeless shelter, and so community engagement and social engagement have always been very important to me. When I had heard Balarama Holness on the radio recruiting for Mouvement Montréal, I thought to myself, this is a party that I want to get behind. This is a party that's dynamic, diverse, really believes in social initiatives, social activism, and what's fair for the people. and being myself an advocate for social justice, I thought what better way to try to shift the mentality of people and some of the disparity taking place in the borough than to get involved and team up with Mouvement Montréal and try to make a run for mayor.
You're running in probably one of the most diverse and one of the most dynamic boroughs in Montreal. It certainly is the biggest in Montreal, and it the needs and the provokes a whole lot of needs, a whole lot of different issues. What do you think are some of the primary issues in the Côte-des-Neiges NDG borough that you hope to take?
We know already that the social, or rather the housing crisis is an issue. There's a lack of social housing. There are buildings in the borough on both sides that are free. They're vacant. You know, there are structures that are available, but the funding isn't being dispersed to go into those buildings to make them, you know, habitable for people who are really struggling, people who are from low-income families. They can stay in these buildings. I can think of three already in just the Loyola district alone. There's not enough being done, and there's not enough urgency to act and to get these places renovated and up and running again for people who are really, really struggling out here. The community services in the borough are underfunded as well. There's not even enough, you know, funding for people to have a building. One organization in particular, Loyola Jeunesse, they don't have a building. So they're serving the youth, but they don't even have a space where that they can come and gather and adhere to the need youth that are part of this community organization. So myself and my motivation for getting involved, those are my two primary initiatives, is to address the social housing issue or lack thereof and the funding not being dispersed evenly or at all to community organizations.
You know what, Matthew, and just to remind the listeners that we are talking with, my name is Edward Gay, and we are speaking with Matthew Kerr, the mayor candidate for Côte-des-Neiges NDG under the Mouvement Montréal banner. We all saw that debate the other night, and your leader excelled. What does it do to you as you get on the campaign trail? What are you hearing? What are people telling you?
I think it's the positivity and the feedback has been great. You know, Balarama was an unknown politician walking into this thing. He was shunned from a few debates, not even invited, you know, left on the sidelines. And, you know, he has two debates now under his belt and people are taking notice. And I wish that he was invited to the commerce debate, so people could really see what he was about. But there's a system that's in place right now, and it's trying to hold us back. It doesn't want people like Balarama exposed because his ideas are too progressive and they disturb the status quo too much. And I think if Balarama was given an even platform, his numbers would be even bigger than they are now, because he's very popular with the youth. He's very popular from people in diverse backgrounds and different communities within, you know, the entire city. And I think it's unjust that he was left out of those debates, because he's a very smart man, a very determined individual that is going to do great in this city.
And absolutely. We are looking forward to speaking with Balarama a little later on. You know what, Matthew, you've been out there. You know, we recently met at the park as we enjoyed a nice Saturday evening of cricket. And you wanted to play cricket with your baseball. You were just off key with that baseball approach. Anyhow, you had the opportunity to speak to a lot of youth. And, there's a generation of people that are feeling alienated from politics, especially municipal politics. What are you telling the young people? What are you getting them? How are you motivating them to get involved?
The importance of getting involved in municipal politics is is paramount. It's the one place where you see really things change in front of your eyes from one day to the other. And that's the message for sure to the youth, is to get educated and to take it seriously. We see a lot of voter apathy. We don't see young people coming out to vote. We don't see people or people in lower income neighborhoods coming out to vote. And then they feel like the system is working against them. But the best way to change the system is to speak up and make your vote known, or, you know, vote, just vote, vote, vote. We're a party that's determined for change. We're, and, you know, at the Hilltoppers Awards dinner that I was, or awards ceremony rather, that I was lucky enough to be a part of, and the warm welcome I received there was amazing. But I hear the frustration that is coming from the people that are hanging out in Confederation Park, and to take away benches so they can't play dominoes, to not even supply a toilet, to the no lights in that park. It just seems wrong to me.
Right,
and so that's
so
what
the campaign going, Matthew? How is the campaign going for you?
It's going well. It's a lot of hard work, but we've been knocking on doors, you know, holding events, doing everything that we can to get our name out there and our message across.
Right. But you know what? Best of luck in your campaign, and hopefully, you know, you continue to push hard, whether you're in office or not. I mean, we do know that the NDG borough is now open to a certain extent to a lot of different candidates, and we have no reason to believe that Mouvement Montréal doesn't have a solid chance in making things happen here. Like I said, it's a big, the biggest and a dynamic borough, and we're hoping forward for adequate and proper leadership. You be well, and best of luck in the campaign, okay?
Thank you, Edward. I really appreciate that. And to remind people that the voting is now open this weekend and next weekend, find your nearest polling station and go out and vote, and make sure to vote for Mouvement Montréal and Matthew Curran, NDG Côte des Neiges.
100%. Be well. All the best to you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Stretch. Thanks, Edward. Appreciate it.
Okay.
You're certainly welcome, and you sound like a future politician, and I'll be there in your corner, I promise you.
You sound good. Like I said, Matthew Curran is running for mayor, borough mayor of Montreal, for Mouvement Montréal in the Côte des Neiges and NDG district. We're looking forward to speaking with Balarama Holness, the emerging powerhouse in municipal politics here in Montreal. So we're looking forward to that, and hopefully we can get him on the line as soon as possible.
In the next 10 minutes, I promise you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Sure. Very well done. Beautiful interview, much better than I could. Once again, I want to say a pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal, and the world at large. We're all over the world at the moment, and I would just, I can't acknowledge everybody that's Toronto. New Orleans, I will acknowledge you because you made me a thing from New Orleans and you sent it. And it's good for clearing throats. You know, I was almost in tears the other night when I read. I must tell you, folks, don't try to get me on Facebook. They banned me, okay? And I'll tell you the reason why we're getting as we're going along. But I saw my little friend Sabi. They stole her car in LaSalle, and it brought tears to my eyes. I can't believe this. It's a little bit too late for the advice that I'm going to give. But, you know, all my old cars, they could be 10 years old, 5 years old, whatever. I used to go to Bunty and let him put a tracer on it. And we'll talk more about that. So, oh boy. I'm so disappointed. These criminals followed her, you know. I can tell you stories about car theft in Montreal. You know, I remembered I spent $300 to put a radio in my Cougar. And the same people who put in that radio stole it back. And I know why, because they walk with the equipment. I had a bracket built specifically to keep that radio in. And I hate a thief. It's strong words, but it's true. I want to remind you that the Golden Stars annual Christmas concert will be held on Sunday, 21st November at Centre Le Mieux 7644 Edward Street, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Donations only $15. Go see the Golden Stars. It's always a wonderful concert, and enjoy it. See you there, all right? I hope you will be coming out. And speaking of that, I'm going to play a song before I bring in Emirate. Not Emirate. Poor Emirate. Emirate wouldn't know what to do. He'd be pushing all kind of wrong buttons. No, that's my friend. He's smart. Anyhow, let me just play this. This is Martin Albino playing all the equipment on all the instruments on this tune. You gotta push up that.
Kumayeo, zindaweyo. Kumaya zindawe ayayo. The seed of my father, he is the seed of my grandfather, who is the seed of Babu Daja. He came from Calcutta, a stick and a bag on his shoulder, he turban and he capra. So I am part seed of India, India. The indentureship and the slavery bind together two races in unity. There was no more Mother Africa, no more Mother India, just Mother Trini. My Babu Daja planted sugarcane down in Karoni Plain. Ram Logan, Basdale, Prakash and I, Jahaji Bai. Brotherhood of the boat, Jahaji Bai. Brotherhood of the boat, Jahaji Bai. Disgrace to Allah if I choose race, creed or color. Babu Daja had to make that journey for I to have Zindaji. So it's a great privilege to have such unique heritage. 50% African, 50% Indian. I have to catch it to holidays, emancipation and arrival day. Since Fatel Ozak made that journey, 150 years gone already. Whether you're Hindu, Muslim or Christian, let's walk this land hand in hand. We can only profit if we try. Jahaji Bai, brotherhood of the boat, Jahaji Bai. Brotherhood of the boat, Jahaji Bai. Kumaye. Zindaweyo, kumaya zindawe ayayo, kumayeo, zindaweyo, kumaya zindawe ayayo. Who plain ignorant, talking about you African descendants. If you want to know the truth, take a trip back down to your roots. And somewhere along that journey, you will see a man in a dhoti singing his prayers in front of a chandi. Chandi. Then and only then you'll understand what is a cosmopolitan nation. There's no room for prejudice at all. United we stand, divided we fall. To all races here in Trinbago, Apko Kalyando, Yamiyaho, let us live as one under the sky. Jahaji Bai,
Brotherhood of the Boat, Jahachi Bai. Brotherhood of the Boat, Jahachi Bai. Kumaye, Zindawe, yo. Kumaya, Zindawe, ayayo. Kumaye, Zindawe, yo. Kumaya, Zindawe, ayayo. Kumaye, Zindawe. Zindawe ayayo, kumayeo, zindaweyo, kumaya zindawe ayayo.
What? Okay, we're having a bit of spotter problem here with the Zoom, but what we're going to do, we're going to do it without the Zoom, if that be the case. And let me play some bills. We have to pay the bills, all right?
If you have flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms, such as fever, cough, loss of taste or smell, or if you have been in contact with someone infected with the virus, it's essential to get tested and to follow isolation instructions, even if you're vaccinated. Screening remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. To find out more, visit quebec.ca/test COVID-19. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the community contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact.
Sam's excited to see his favorite band play live. He's thought about it all week. He bought his ticket. He wore his band t-shirt. He went to the concert venue. He wasn't allowed inside the concert venue. He put away his band t-shirt. He threw away his ticket. And he thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. Beginning in September, you'll need a vaccination passport to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
See the people at Lindsay Auto for Roofs and Childs, Door E in El Bazar. Rust proofing, new tires, oil change, tire change. Winterize your vehicle. All your vehicle care can be done here. General inspection and maintenance. That's Lindsay Auto for Roofs and Childs. That's over there in El Bazar. 514-781-7373. That's 514-781-7373. Lindsay Auto. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. No, you can't go wrong. Go check them out. And I usually don't. I play only people who I can recommend. If I can't recommend you, I won't tell you about a place to go or what to do. Once again, pleasant good afternoon to you. We're trying to link up Mr. Honus along with good old Egbert Gay here. So I'm trying to do this while I'm talking to you. I'm gonna do it one at a time. All right. So we're gonna play a little bit of music in between there, so we can get everything going. Beautiful song, simply called "God Is Watching You," and if you're a believer, God is watching you. Be careful.
Kings and queens.
This is Brother George Fennell.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tipping
stop the fighting. Can't we see what we are doing? Can't we hear the children crying? Stop the war, stop the fighting. Don't you know the people are dying? Don't you know God is watching? We must pay the price for backbiting.
If you give a little more than you take, and if you try to fix more than you break, if you're the kind who takes the time to help a stranger in the rain, there's a place for people like you. If you stand up for those down on their knees and lend a voice to those who cannot speak.
The voice of Morgan Heritage.
If you shine a little light,
we're running behind time, so I'll have to cut into it, but I do promise I'll bring it back for you, all right? On the phone with us, because we're not working out with the Zoom, is Mr. Honus and, of course, Mr. Egbert Gay. Go right ahead, Egbert, whenever you're ready. Jump in there with your guests. Wait, Egbert. Wait. I had to plug in my good old phone. Boy, I'm doing a million things here. Go right ahead now, sir. Egbert?
I'm a Honus. Sitting with us on a Saturday afternoon.
Yes, my pleasure.
How are you doing? All is well?
All is well. Very excited, and I'm feeling great. I'm happy to be here.
Right. You know, the thing is, you know, Montreal should have known, right? Because we have seen that W5 interview. We heard it from the New York Times article that you should be seen as one of the emerging political forces in Canada. And I think people are now seeing that from the last debate. Tell me how it's been going since that debate, and tell me the vibes you've been getting since the debate.
Well, you know, for people that watch the debate, and for those of you who haven't, I really encourage you to go check it out. It was important for me to establish that minority communities feel empowered, that Montreal is a place that we call home, and it's about time that we take a seat at the table. So yes, we laid out our policy from housing, employment, and culture, et cetera, but it's also the tone, the manner, the presence, and we're establishing that we are going to be standing up for our rights. And not only that, we are going to be meeting our fullest potential as a metropolis and also as as a community, and I think that we accomplished that. So we're feeling great, we're feeling enthusiastic, and we appreciate the support that we've been getting since the debate.
Obviously we have to remind people that Balarama Wholeness is the leader of Mouvement Montreal. We have to put in perspective that his campaign was really launched, what, May or something? It had to be May.
Yes.
Launched. May 20th. We have to establish also that he has jumped to more than 16% in the polls. So it's quite a unheard of in a political setting, the kind of inroads that you've been making into people's mind. The main issue, Balarama, has been your call to the city-state status of Montreal that you're aiming at, and most importantly, a bilingual and an extended and multilingual city. Tell me about that, and tell me how much that we Montrealers can gauge something like that and the impact it's going to have on Montreal and Montrealers.
For sure, and I thought a lot about the details of city-state status and being bilingual, but fundamentally, people from all over the world come to Montreal, whether you're from the Caribbean, whether you're from Sub-Saharan Africa, from Asia, from Mexico, from South America. And the fact is that Montreal is a multicultural city, and it's a multilingual city. And we are the second largest economy in Canada, an important contributor to Canada's economy. So our economic prosperity, in other words, the GDP, we have $200 billion of GDP, but our budget is $6 billion. And that's why we're asking for more independence, is I want to empower Montrealers and to say we are effectively, we are like a city state in that we are the economic engine of Quebec. The economic prosperity we're generating as a metropolis, we're not receiving it back. So if you think of the parks in your neighborhood that are not properly maintained and the roads that aren't properly maintained and the support you have for your small business, all of these things is because really we don't have the budget in order to actually improve people's lives. So what we're saying is that we are going to ask for percentages of that GDP, get more autonomy, get more power to ensure, that's just the economic perspective. There's other things as well. And I'll give you a great example. Immigration. Montreal takes the majority of immigrants from across the world. We have to have a seat at the table. Another big part, last point on that one, is education. We've seen the provincial government come up with a new curriculum that is very, if you will, whitewashed. We want to ensure that we teach our young boys and girls history and culture and even economics in the way that it suits Montreal. So there's all kinds of things that says that we need more independence, more autonomy, to really empower all Montrealers and our metropolis. And that's something that I'm committed to do in the long term.
Yeah. And, having spoken to you before, I also know about your aim at including the English-speaking sector of our community, including that in that whole progress parade that you're proposing in terms of integrating English speakers into the workforce and having that sort of mentorship as they go towards learning and mastering French. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So the short, quick answer is when you go for a job, if you don't have enough French, you're automatically excluded regardless of your education. So what I'm telling all Montrealers is that under my administration, there would be a base French test to understand where you are, but then you would get the job and learn French on the job. So that opens all the doors. That's step one. Step two, we all know that there's not equal opportunity for employment. Systemic discrimination exists. So when you go for a job and they see that you're a person of color, not only are you a person of color and you're Anglophone, you're not getting equal opportunity. And I must say this, I want to be very clear here. Running for mayor of Montreal, it's an accumulation of all of the experiences that people of color and people who are not French and white feel. I am disrespected. I am excluded from debates. I am not given equal opportunity, but we're still fighting. We're still struggling, but we're still fighting and achieving. And what I'm telling all Montrealers, particularly Anglophone and minority communities, is under my administration, your life will be made easier. And I will not tolerate discrimination. A, I've lived it, but I'll be able to make your life easier, whether it's getting a house, getting a job, mitigating housing discrimination, whether you want to rent or buy. I am going to make the lives easier for all Montrealers, particularly the minority communities.
Let me just step in a little bit on the discrimination and systemic discrimination. I want to say that Balarama won a Grey Cup with the Montreal Alouettes, a fast cornerback. But after that, he earned a law degree at McGill, a prestigious degree in law at McGill, and then launched that initiative that got 22,000 votes, Montrealers, to sign a petition and say, let the city, push the city to institute consultations on systemic racism. That was an amazing sort of feat that just one individual took on. So as we look forward, Balarama, we're talking a little bit about public security now and systemic racism sort of, intrude in public security. Talk about police, talk about youth, and we can make that whole system better.
Yes. So let's get the first part out of the equation, is that the rise of gang violence and the proliferation of firearms, people are concerned about this. And in New York, what they did is there's a specific task force that tackled these violent crimes, and they addressed the issue. Now, that is not a free pass for racial profiling. But what we're saying is that, yes, we need to tackle, these niche elements of violence. But overall, the way that you decrease crime is by investing in communities. The young boys and girls who are on the block right now, 16 years old, we need to give them support, whether it's leisure, sports, recreation infrastructure, access to better job training, access to intervention workers, access to coaches, access to mentors. That is how we get kids on the right track. And what we're saying is that there's an $800 million budget, and way too much is going to just police our young boys and girls and to harass them in parks and to profile them. And instead of doing that, let's support them. And that's how we're different from Valérie Plante and Denis Coderre. We want to start investing in our young people. And the young boy who was stabbed a few days ago, he was 16 years old, stabbed by another 16-year-old boy. And the question is, where did we fail? We need to start investing in young people, investing in families. So when your son or daughter goes outside at night, you're not worried that they're selling drugs or they're going to be on the corner. You know they're with their coach. They're around positive role models, and that's what we need. Yes, I'm running for mayor of Montreal as a positive role model, but now we need to see those in the communities on a regular basis, and that's something I'm committed to investing in.
Absolutely. And, and we look at, we talk, just to push a little further on youth and community involvement, we've seen a lack of frontline organizations serving young people. We used to have a lot of that in our sector, the community. Now we've seen it's depleted. Do you think that should be a municipal issue, something that the municipal government should be focused on, that helping these frontline organizations?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I want to say, a quick study about organizations. There was a 20-year study that was done, and it said that over 264 cities, okay, this is a massive, massive study, came out in 2017, it said for every time we're investing or we invest in community organizations, they looked at 10 community organizations, you decrease the murder rate by 10%. And so we know that by investing and supporting and assisting community organizations, that is how you actually decrease crime. So for us, it's critically important. And just a few numbers. In the first 2 years, the mayor invested $1 million each year in community organizations. In the third year, it was $2.6 million, and increased a little bit in the fourth year. But we are talking at Movement Montreal, something along the lines of a $1 billion investment in sports, leisure, recreation, and community organizations. And we have the money. Denis Coderre put that money in a party for 375. So what I would tell everyone listening is that you need to have representation in order for your issues to be recognized. And that's when you go vote. Once your issue is recognized, we can then redistribute profit and money. I'm almost like Robin Hood out here. We need to, the pot is there, but if you don't have any Robin Hood at City Hall, you're not going to get anything. So what we're saying is that, if you elect me, you're going to have someone at City Hall fighting for you, fighting for your children, fighting for your businesses, and it's going to improve your daily life. Denis Coderre or Valérie Plante, they're not fighting for the people who they don't think have power in society. And what I'm saying is that not only do we have power, but together we can actually thrive as a community, and I think that's really important.
All right, let's close it off. Talk a little bit about small, medium-sized businesses and what sort of initiatives that you kind of see that could stimulate and stir business in our community. Because we know that the future is young, us being able to hire ourselves and start small and medium-sized business. Is there something the municipal government under your administration would be able to do about that?
So there are three main things. Number one, regardless of the borough that you're in, and this exists but not to this level, is that you need a small business center where if you need a license, a loan, advice, a course, anything you need would be in a small business center. This exists in California and Montreal. We're developing it, but not good enough. That's step one. Step two, to negotiate with the provincial government to say, if you establish your business, particularly in low-income neighborhoods, or if you're a disenfranchised community, you get a tax rebate. Once again, in California, this was successful, particularly in Chinatown. What does that mean? For example, you live in LaSalle. LaSalle is considered a borough that has been neglected. So you would get a tax rebate to establish your coffee shop, your barber shop in LaSalle. And that's what we could do to stimulate the economy. And the other thing is your urban planning. The way you design your city has to be done in conjunction with small business. What that means is, am I going to build a bike path in front of your business during a pandemic while you're going bankrupt? So the answer is no. So you have to coordinate your urban planning with the business community, and that's going to ensure that we assist their needs. And the final point, back to the city-state status, is that we're always waiting for the federal government to give us investment and to give us financial support, or provincial. And with a $14 billion budget and more of that $200 billion GDP I mentioned, we can start assisting fiscally small businesses. And that's a concrete impact that our administration would have.
You're 38 years old, you're a black guy, you're basically new on the municipal scene after one shot at it in 2017. Tell people why they should vote for you. Remember, we had the advance polls this week and the real voting takes place next week. So why should people vote for you? Move by more, Mr. Balarama.
And I'll tell you why. Listen, you do not need to vote for me because I'm from St. Elizabeth, Jamaica, with green eyes and brown skin. That's not a good reason. The good reason to vote for me is because we have better policies. Is that if you go watch the debates in English or in French, and if you look at my track record over the last 4 years, from, you mentioned it, mobilizing 22,000 people to address systemic racism. In that regard, it was employment, housing, culture, urban planning. If you just look at my track record, and we mentioned all the degrees, I got the degrees because my father lived in social housing. We grew up poor, and I felt vulnerable, so I had to go protect myself with education. It wasn't because I was smart. It's because I wanted to protect myself and build a future for my family. So I embody what we want our younger generations to do, which is to get educated, to engage themselves, and to make a difference in their community. So by electing me, you're also electing a role model. And there are very few of them, people of color, that young people can look up to and say, I want to be like him. And that's what I am beyond a politician. I'm hopefully going to be a role model for the next generation. And that's why you should vote for Balarama Wholeness and Movement Montreal.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to our community, Mr. Balarama Wholeness, you are making all of Montreal and Quebec and Canada proud just by, like we said before, the audacity to get people.
I appreciate that.
And I thank you for, talking to us this evening. And again, big up and good luck on that campaign and keep on doing it.
Yeah, stand up for your rights. Thank you so much for the support and the love and the care. And I'll end on one thing. Yes, I'm going to be mayor for all Montrealers. They used to call me the Canadian Obama, but I will not forget my community once elected. So you can count on me.
Oh, boy. That's a good shot. All right, you be well. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Well, well done. We're going to talk.
Thank okay? you. All right. Cheers. Bye.
All right. Very well done, as usual. And I have to thank you, Mr. Gay, for doing your thing.
Thanks a lot.
And I didn't know he was a St. Elizabeth background.
You know, you Jamaican people drop it.
I'm telling you.
Want to take over things and run things all the time. I don't know what's wrong with you, Jamaican.
You know, I was going to inject my thing in there to find out if he's really related to the Prime Minister of Jamaica, Mr. Honus.
Second cousin, sorry.
Ah.
He's the second cousin to Mr. Honus. I know he's a cousin to Honus, yeah.
One of my principals was a Honus, Teacher Honus. He was my principal at when I was a youngster. Anyhow, we got to get in. Thank you. We run in 5 o'clock on the PM. That means it's soca music. And today we have somebody interviewing called Dynamite. He's going to blow us because he's from Vincentland. And Drew, get ready for the music because I can't find where I put the folders. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think that's Trini Soca boy.
Eh? Yeah, he's from St. Vincent. He's from St. Vincent. And you know.
Soca music. I'm good.
Good. All right, my all brethren. Time. Be good.
All right, Brett.
Okay, take care. Okay. CKUT 90.3 FM. And for the person who I'm seriously leaning towards this guy, he's young.